remember our CEO coming into a leadership meeting and he's, we're going to build an AI receptionist. And I'm like, what? I was like, what do you mean? What does that mean? We're human first. Humans are so important to us. Like, how are we going to build an AI receptionist? Are they going to replace our receptionist?
They keep telling us that it's all over for HR. The age of AI is upon us, and that means HR should be prepared to be decimated. We reject that message. The future of HR won't be handed to us. Instead, it'll be defined by those ready to experiment, adopt, and adapt. Future-proof HR invites these builders to share what they're trying, how it's going, what they've learned, and what's next. We are committed to arming HR with the AI insights to not just survive, but to thrive. Hello and welcome to the Future Proof HR podcast, where we explore how forward-thinking HR leaders are preparing for disruption and redefining what it means to lead people in a changing world. I'm your host, Thomas Kunjapu, CEO of Cleary. Now, today's guest is Marlene Kosain, HR Director at Abbey Connect, a 20-year leader in live reception services that has now launched an AI receptionist while counterintuitively doubling down on human receptionists at the same time. Marlene builds workplaces where people want to stay and where humans and AI get along with a practical playbook for capability, building trust and change. And we have a lot to talk about, Marlene. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So I think what you have gone through in the last few years is such an interesting story, and I think is a bit of a harbinger for many other companies as they're going through the concept of putting out AI products, but also what it means for the workplace that they have created and the company strategy, and it all connects together. So I'm really excited to go into that. But when maybe a great place to start is, tell me about your first role at the company.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I started as a receptionist. This fun fact is actually my first and only company that I've ever worked for. So I came straight out of high school, pretty much no experience, just really, really hopeful. No experience, but a whole lot of determination, a whole lot of grit, and a whole lot of dedication. I really wanted to prove myself that I could do something, that I could be a good worker, and that I could contribute and add value to a company. So even though it was a little difficult at first for me to understand just the workplace and navigate the job and do all those things, I think I always had that determination of, I'm going to do really well at this. Plus, I really love the company, so I need to figure out a way to stay here.
And boy, did you, because now you are the HR director many years later, and there have been multiple transitions in between. And I think it's important because I think you were telling me a little bit beforehand about how there's a lot of promotion within, right? And a lot of growth over many, many years for several folks in the leadership team with and alongside you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I've seen the company. And when I started, there was like five of us and we were all in the little bullpen. And then to getting the office that came after that, to growing to 100 employees, we had some things happen where we had to go down a little bit. But just going from seeing the office spaces expand, new people come on board, like that has always been a really exciting part of the journey. And I think figuring out how do you carry that culture through every evolution of the company is so important.
Tell us a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, so Abbey Connect, we are a receptionist service. So we provide phone solutions to different business owners, think doctors, lawyers, even home services. So maybe plumbers that are out on the field or electricians that don't have the ability to answer their phones. Or maybe they do have the staff and they want their staff to elevate and to work on other things. We take care of the customer service for them. So we do that through virtual receptionist, and we do that through our AI receptionist as well.
Ah, so the AI receptionist, now that is a new product, right? Relatively new. Tell me about what was that journey to get to the point of introducing this AI receptionist as part of the brand promise?
Yeah, absolutely. So about 2 years ago, we were spinning our wheels and we're like, we're an innovative company. How are we going to innovate? We saw a little bit of the market change. We saw the human receptionist service not growing as much. We were a little bit stagnant. So we're like, what are we going to do? And I remember our CEO coming into a leadership meeting and he's, we're going to build an AI receptionist. And I'm like, what? I was like, what do you mean? What does that mean? We're human first. Humans are so important to us. Like, how are we going to build an AI receptionist? Are they going to replace our receptionist? All my little bells started going. And I'm like, where's the market research? Where's the validation? Like, I wanted the stats. I'm a very like stats and numbers person. So I wanted that. And he's, I'm just telling you, this is going to be the next thing. Like, AI is like the internet. It's inevitable. And he just had such a big conviction that this was going to be what took us to the next level, that there was no denying getting on board. Like, from there, I'm like, okay, like, I may not see the path yet, but I really do believe this is going to be the next step of the company.
So you are probably not the only person who was going through like all of these questions and concerns, yeah. Right? When you have a fundamental value proposition, which involves having a whole cadre of human receptionists, including your first role as you came into the company, the employee base across the board, probably, and the leadership team, everyone had a similar set of questions, right? So what were some of those like early reactions in that process, especially when you're in those times where it's just an idea and you haven't actually launched anything?
Yeah, I think 2 years ago, we made the conscious decision of we're going to tell the staff, because when people feel like you're withholding information, that's when they don't start trusting you. And I think trust is so important, especially in moments of change. So back then we made the conscious decision of we're going to bring the employees along the journey and we're going to show them little by little that this isn't something to be fearful of. This is just the new way of work. And we might not be able to see what exactly that looks like. And we were very careful too. Like, we weren't saying we're going to have prompt engineer jobs and your role is going to be exactly this or exactly that. We had guesstimates and visions and told a story through that way, but we were really mindful of making sure that people knew that our humans are our lifeline. That's what has always made Abby special. That's always what has been our differentiator, what has made us stand out. So no matter what, we wanted them to hold on to the fact that this is still our story of growing people from within, bringing them along the journey on the next step. And no, we're not going to replace you. And it's interesting because 2 years ago, we actually did say, we're like, 2 years from now, once we launch this, like, the receptionist department and the receptionist product is naturally going to grow as the AI receptionist grows as well. And I'm really happy that came true.
Wow. Before we go fast forward to how it's happened, let's stay in that moment. Like, this is and I want to belabor this a little bit, because I think some version of this is something that HR leaders and leaders across the board, they're struggling through, because on one hand, that change is inevitable in your market and your strategy, and the product needs to shift to meet the moment. And on the other hand, I think in your case, it's so obviously front and center, right? There's a general underlying concern that some combination of different AI tools eventually, or AGI, might replace like all knowledge work. But in this case, if you're a receptionist and you're launching an AI receptionist, it's like pretty easy for everyone to put the two together and really be afraid for their jobs and what it means. In that moment, how do you go about convincing people to stick along with you and go on this ride together?
Yeah, for sure. I think at the foundation is trust, and the trust that we had built throughout so many years of letting people know, like, this, we do promote from within. When you look at our leadership, when you look at our staff makeup, 90% of the staff has been promoted from within. We've only brought on external elevated roles within the last 5 years, maybe. So it is something that's very important to us. So I think people genuinely believe, like, we are a caring company. That's something that they have seen. We are a human first company, which is something that they had experienced. I think the missing piece was just education. And I think knowledge is power. And the more that people know and the more that you enable them, the more that the guard can start to come down, and then you can start impacting them a little more.
So that's interesting. So those are some values that you've had for several years that I think a lot of people talk about, but you've actually done it in practice, and you see that outcome. And because you're able to leverage that in these moments of big, big shifts and changes. All that said, were there people who left and said, like, this, I'm not going to be around anymore, I don't believe it? What you're saying, is that expected, right? Even with all this history within the company, like, how do you think about that decision, which was pretty pivotal, where you said, we're going to share this out with early, right before saying, hey, this has happened, as opposed to, like, this is going to, and it's going to take several quarters and years even.
definitely. Yeah, no one left, but we were met with some comments. You've told us this before. We had launched other things, or we said we were going to launch things in the past, and that's going to be the next thing. That's what's going to grow us. We're going to open up new positions. So there were those people that are like, I've heard this before. It's just another thing. Like, yeah, okay. And I think that happens with anything. I think you have early adopters, the people that are really excited about things, people that are going to come along a little later. They need to see other people use it and embrace it first. And then you're going to have the small group that are never going to want to change or adopt or be part of that. And that's okay. We're not really talking to that group. We're not trying to convince the group that doesn't want to be convinced. We're looking at the other two buckets of people. And really what you want to do is take the early adopters, and especially if they have influencer personalities, and have them influence the rest of the staff. Because it's not only are people believing us, but they're going to believe their coworker. They're going to believe the person that they sit next to. And if we can impact the person that they sit next to, and that person can then permeate throughout the staff what they've seen, what they've experienced, then that's how you create positivity and people getting on board all around.
So transparency was first up. And then I think you also told me you did a lot of education, right? What did that look like?
Yeah. So we're like, where do we start? We definitely need to raise our AI literacy, especially if we're a tech forward company and we're coming out with an AI receptionist and all these things. So we started with something that was low stakes, which was helping people use AI in their personal life. So we didn't try to implement it into their processes or their workflows or anything like that at first. We're like, what can put the guard down a little bit? So we started talking to people in every chance that we could, in huddles, in meetings, in one-on-ones, asking people like, did you use AI for that? Or, oh my gosh, someone was telling me about their meal plan and how they're trying to get more fit. And then I would say something like, oh my gosh, have you tried ChatGPT? I just tried it the other day and it made a whole meal plan for me and a whole workout plan based off of what I did. And it's like those little moments that add up and you start teaching people how to use that in their personal life.
And then did you go from there into graduating to the point where that was AI was being used in the work, in their work lives as well? And was there education associated with that?
Yeah, for sure. Then the next step was to get an LLM that they could use. That way we can figure out how they can use AI at a small scale within their work. So for example, we do receptionist work. Let's say we answer for a lot of attorneys. So let's say a receptionist was on a call, and sometimes it's just really hard to figure out, is that a criminal case or is that a civil case? They don't really know. We do training, but sometimes they do have to guess. So instead, we empowered them to use Copilot through Microsoft and to type in, hey, this is the situation. Is this criminal or civil? And try to have them do things that are very low stakes. And if anything, help them do their job better and help them feel more confident about the job that they do than them feeling like the AI is replacing their job altogether.
So how does it come together such that, you know, you have your human receptionist and then you have your AI receptionist coming on alongside? How does it work together? And what does that mean day to day in terms of the activities that your receptionists are doing day to day?
I think AI has allowed us to say yes. So a little backstory on Abby. We used to say yes to pretty much every client, and that would put a lot of strain on the staff because they take different phone calls for different industries. Before, we used to have to learn different medical systems like Dentrix or like whatever your dentist would use or your medical office would use. We would have to log into those and learn the system and do that for pretty much every account that we had, which was really difficult. So we took scheduling away altogether a few years into our journey because we're like, we're really good at customer service. We can't provide good service when we do scheduling like this. It just doesn't work with our model. So for a long time, we said no to all scheduling clients. Now our AI receptionist schedules. So AI allows us to say yes, so our receptionist can focus on creating those great connections, doing the things that our clients have loved for the past 20 years, while our AI receptionist can take care of the scheduling. It could integrate with the system. It could do all those cool things. Or sometimes it's difficult to hire bilingual speakers and our clients want Spanish speakers. Our AI receptionist is fluent in Spanish, so it could take the Spanish calls. So we found a way to do humans plus AI. They don't really substitute each other, but they really, each of them have their limitations. Each of them have our strengths. We try to figure out where's the balance between both.
Got it. So actually it improved or actually expanded your market that you're able to actually address and that you had to say no to beforehand. And in that process, from the skill, the capacity of your employees, looking at it from that perspective, were people's day-to-days being very significantly different, and or did you have new types of roles that were coming in, or type of hybrid roles which didn't exist before?
Yeah. For the receptionist department, I will say their jobs didn't change too much because if anything, the AI does everything in the background. So for example, the receptionist will handle the call flawlessly. Then the AI will produce a caller sentiment score to our client in their portal so they could see if the interaction was positive, negative, if someone is upset, that way they can call them quicker if that's what they choose. So kind of did some things in addition to what the receptionist does. But for other roles, yeah, it created AI technicians. It created AI QA specialist. It created a different positions that we were able to take people that had started off as receptionists and then elevate them into those roles.
So this is fascinating because the company's strategy, a new product, the company's strategy shifted dramatically with AI. A new product was introduced and the product directly competes slash complements the current services product, which is representative of the majority of the employee base. So all those things coming together is quite an accelerated shift compared to, I think, most people out there. There's some versions, like one or two of these things are coming together where you might have a new AI product, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to change a lot of the day-to-day for employees, or there's some new trainings and upskilling that you're doing just to be more efficient. But in your case, you're doing it all together. From an HR perspective, through this transformation, what do you think has been your role and your team's role, and has it been any different than in the past?
Yeah, I think as an HR team, it's really important. I think HR is the glue. I think especially in moments of change, HR needs to think through those things on how are people going to react? And that's information that's powerful to have. Who's going to be upset? What are they going to be upset about? What are they fearful about? And I think HR is that key, because if you think CEO, we're thinking product. How do we build the product? Marketing's thinking, how do we launch the product? Sales is thinking, how do we sell the product? Operations is thinking, how do we keep the current product that we have going? So right. HR is really that person that needs to be cognizant of that. Like, how are people going to feel? And I think the more that HR is mindful of that, then you can start thinking, like, how can I build culture activities around this? How can I build recognition around this? How can I build moments of talking points and conversations around this? So we did many different things. And I think it's important to also know that motivation and inspiration are different things. And at some point, you're going to need both. So we went through at the beginning, we had to motivate people to use AI. They weren't necessarily inspired just yet. So we created an AI bingo, which all of our courses were on the bingo. And whoever completed it, they either got, I think it was like $500 cash, you got 4 hours in PTO, you got swag, you got a lot of cool things. And we had multiple winners. So that was like a fun way to push people to do it. And then the more as time went on and the more little interactions and moments we had, people all of a sudden felt pulled toward the cause and were inspired by it.
This has been a fantastic conversation so far. If you haven't already done so, make sure to join our community. We're building a network of the most forward-thinking HR and people operations professionals who are defining the future. I will personally be sharing news and ideas around how we can all thrive in the age of AI. You can find it at gocleary.com/cleary-community. Now back to the show. I love those ideas and that separation of motivation and inspiration. And you need equal parts both as you're going through a big transformation. I think maybe this was, I'm not sure about the timeline, but preceding or leading up to this, there's also been downturns where every business kind of goes up and down depending on the market and where you're exactly situated. When you've done headcount reductions in the past, how do you retain trust, which then you still seem to have later on when you're doing other changes, for example, with the strategic shift?
Yeah, I think really to maintain trust in those moments is to stay visible. The worst thing you could do is hide. The worst thing you can do as leadership is make these decisions, have everyone feel upset, scared, all these things, and then do nothing about it and be like, okay, that was the decision. No, have roundtables, have open discussions. I constantly do people advocates, which is where I just pull random members through the staff and just ask them what's working, what's not working. what is causing you to feel that way? How can we improve? And just getting insights from everyone has really helped us throughout the years, because it's not just leadership at the top making all these decisions. It's really bringing people in to those decisions. And I think in those moments, also empowering your middle managers, because a lot of times your middle managers are the closest people to the people that are affected. So a lot of times leaders or the higher ups try to be the ones that are influencing and telling people to feel better or telling people that it's going to turn around and this and that. But once you have your middle managers believe that, they're the closest in relation to that person. So they really do have more influence and more power to make people feel ease and to make people feel more calm and stay on board.
That population set specifically has been under attack and been squeezed from all sides in the broader labor market, I would say. So, yeah, that's interesting that you focus in on middle managers. How did you go about empowering them further in these times of big shifts?
Yeah, I think holding conversations between myself, the VP, we're just a very transparent, open company. So anyone can talk to anyone, really. And we like to be forward facing at all times. So as a leadership group, we make the decisions and then we do what's called cascading information. So then we cascade all those decisions down to middle management and we explain why. We allow them to ask questions. We allow them to debate us and come up with other ideas and other solutions. We allow them to anticipate how their teams are going to respond and how we can help them navigate through those conversations. And we also have a really good pulse on our staff, like who is more likely to be on board, who's more likely to be a little skeptical, things like that. So we can have tailored conversations with the middle managers and help them navigate those conversations better.
So a theme I'm sensing from your own career journey at the organization to how you're talking about the majority of leaders have been promoted from within and started as receptionists. It seems like there's a big culture of not just promoting from within, but also just finding new opportunities for people. And, you know, it might be lateral moves as well. And now that you have all these new titles, new roles coming in, are there possibilities for example, a receptionist to go into more AI adjacent roles? Or because I think that's one of the core questions with the economy moving towards AI. It's like there are these new jobs that are going to be created and there's shifts in what you need in terms of skill sets to be able to take them on. But the question is, can we enable at scale anyone pretty much to move into those roles?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And for us, we found that the receptionists are the perfect people because they know customer service. They understand how customers respond, what they want to hear, what they want to see, how they value those interactions. So they come in with the perfect mindset to transition to AI technician, for example, where they're QAing how the AI is handling the call. Instead of them taking the calls, the AI is taking the call, and now they're reviewing the calls that the AI is taking. And they come in with a fresh set of, maybe they should have been a little more empathetic, or maybe the AI missed the mark here. They're the perfect people for that.
Well, that's great to hear, because I think that what you're talking about is domain knowledge. And I think that's so important and that's so useful in so many different arenas where there is an entrance of AI into the workplace. Let's talk about a little bit about the HR function itself. So there's been this massive transformation for the company, receptionists, products, and everything you're doing to enable the whole organization to future-proof yourselves. Tell me a little bit about the HR function. How have you evolved, if at all, also in this era?
Yeah, this is a great question. That's actually one of my focuses for this quarter is how do we improve hiring, for example, our hiring process? How do we make it more efficient? How do I let my talent acquisition specialist do what she does best, which is having those conversations, being able to vet people. She's really good at that. Giving tours around the office, doing all those things. We have a big bottleneck when it comes to resume, like going through resumes. We get, like 600, 700 resumes every few weeks. And to go through those manually is almost impossible. I'm surprised she could do it. So it's so difficult. And then making all those first phone calls. And then we have a pretty extensive hiring process. So figuring out what are those bottlenecks and what are those tasks that can be automated so she could focus on the people person aspect of it. So that's one of the things that I'm looking at.
Exciting. So then are there other areas, if you just think about these like bottlenecks, if you just imagine more broadly for HR teams, what are the big opportunities you think which can really help us both do more and be more efficient and be future-proofed?
Yeah, for sure. I think in L&D, in training, there's a huge aspect to it. I'm not a big believer in type in ChatGPT and ask it to create a whole lesson plan for you, and that's what you implement. I think it takes balance, right? You need to curate it for your own company. But that alone saves so much time on having ChatGPT or whatever tool create a course for you, create an outline for you. We implemented an LMS throughout this journey, and having an LMS system that has, I forgot what it's called, but basically it has some sort of co-pilot where it automatically makes courses for you. You tell it how many modules you want, how many do you want videos, do you want it to speak in British, do you want it to speak in comic book? Like, it has so many options. And boom, within 5 minutes, it can create a whole lesson for you that then you can go in there and tweak. So that has been really helpful. And just overall, sometimes if you're questioning your judgment, I like to pop in there and I like to ask ChatGPT, challenge my thinking. Am I really right? Are you telling me that I'm right? What am I not thinking about? What can people say to this, or what reactions could people have to this? And I have it be my little devil's advocate.
These are great use cases. And then if you were to project ahead for your team at AbbeyConnect, what do you think an AI-enabled HR team 2 to 3 years down the line looks like for you?
Yeah, I am so excited. I think having those tools more than anything right now, that is something that we're working on. We don't necessarily have too many tools. So that's what I'm looking at seeing, identifying those bottlenecks. And I oversee hiring, training, learning and development, culture. So it could be as simple as how do you write this culture email to as complex as creating those lesson plans, challenging our hiring process, doing benchmarks for pay and seeing what the competitive benchmarks are. As we expand from local hiring to global hiring, what resources do I need? Like an EOR system, like ChatGPT is giving me that information, right? You can only learn so much in school. You can only learn so much in the job. Sometimes the company's growing and there's just things that maybe I haven't encountered how to do yet, or how to take the company to the next level. Chat is the first place that I'm going to go. I'm not going to believe everything it says, but it's going to give me enough to run with, right, that then I can figure out what those future hires are, what those future legalities are that we have to look out for, and all those cool things.
Do you think, given that future, you might have some recommendations for someone who's new and looking to get into HR, coming out of high school or college and is interested in the field? What can they be doing to have the skills and be ready to make an impact in the next few years?
Yeah, I think especially with AI is using it in your everyday in any way that you can. And that's something that we look for now in all new candidates that we hire for elevated positions, not so much for the receptionist position just yet. But for example, I'm hiring a full stack developer right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the requirements is for them to use some sort of AI tool like Claude, for example, or we're looking for a social media manager that we just hired. We're looking mm-hmm. for them to have some sort of, maybe they don't know the tool exactly, but maybe they're at least on the thought of, I'm going to find a better way to do this, or I'm going to find a more efficient way to do this through an AI tool. So I think really for any job, not just HR, it's finding out what those bottlenecks are for you. What are those frustrations for you in the day to day? And how can you find tools to make that quicker and more efficient? That way you can do all the cool things that you really like to do. You can spend more time there, selfishly.
That is the big promise. This has been a pretty wide-ranging conversation, but really focus in on your efforts on the enabling the entire organization. I think what's really unique about, from what I'm hearing about what's happening at AbbeyConnect, is like there's such a confluence of different factors that has made a giant transformation where the organization just looks so different from 2 years ago. But also it was proactive planning, and it didn't happen to you. You picked a direction and got everyone moving in that world. Maybe we can close out on what I think is a little bit of a hopeful note. So you mentioned a while ago, but I said, let's hold off on that, come back to that. So now you've released this AI receptionist product, but then now you're seeing there's more demand than ever for human receptionists. How does that happen? Tell me about this, how you realized this success, and the job's never done. It's always ongoing. But how did you get to this particular place, which is the promise a couple of years ago?
Yeah, the promise come true is what's really exciting. We actually just had an AI roundtable where our CEO came. He's here in the office, but we made a roundtable where employees can come in. They can get an update on where we're at with the company. We just went to market with AI receptionist not too many months ago. So they want to know, like, how many clients do we have? Have we grown? How's this going to impact us? And yeah, he said a really neat fact, which was the fact that the more AI receptionist clients that we get, the more human receptionists that we get. Because our AI is backed by humans, and that's our brand differentiator, that's something that our clients have actually really been gravitating towards. AI companies are popping up left and right. When you take a company that has 20 years of experience and delivers with a human backed at the behind it, it's really meaningful to clients to know, like, the AI is not just going to run off and do whatever it wants. The AI is not going to do all these things. We have our AI technician who QAs 100% of the calls that is taken by the AI receptionist. But clients like to know, like, if their caller doesn't want to speak to the AI, can they divert to a human? Yes, you can. If the AI is struggling to understand for some reason, or the client's really frustrated, the AI can pick up on that and then reroute the call to the human.
So that combination with the human being in the loop is a key differentiator. And yeah, it's funny. I see that being the case for so many different domains at this moment, because it's a tool that can help us make things more efficient. But depending on the domain and the kind of problems being solved, you don't want to get it wrong and you want to escalate to a human or get the thing resolved quickly, right? So, I mean, and in your domain, people can call for a million types of things, right? It's really hard to focus it down. So it's really helpful to be able to escalate it to a trained person who can deal with that situation live in that moment. So I can see how that is a key differentiator. And it's, I think, a very hopeful note for how there's a combination of people and AI can actually get to more productivity and better outcomes faster. So both for your clients and for your organization. This has been such an awesome conversation, Marlene. Thank you for talking through this big transformation that you've done. And I think you've, like I said many times, addressed a confluence of factors that is impacting all of us out there in a very direct way. And I think there's so many ways that people can compare their own experience, right? What are they coming up against, and how can you go after it proactively, whether it's within their own function with the product or in terms of reskilling and upskilling and change management and communication? You're doing all of the above and did it fast. So thank you for sharing your experience. And for thank you. And then for everyone out there who is following along and future-proofing your own organizations and your own HR functions, good luck. Hope you took some great nuggets of insight from this one. And I'll catch you on the next one. Bye now. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Future Proof HR. If you like the discussion, make sure you leave us a 5-star review on the platform you're listening to or watching us on, or share this with a friend or colleague who may find value in the message. See you next time as we keep our pulse on how we can all thrive in the age of AI. Hey, it's Thomas again. One quick question before you go. Are you and your HR team tired of answering the same employee questions again and again in Slack? If yes, our Cleary AI-powered Slackbot is here to help. It takes routine employee requests and answers it automatically while freeing up time for you to take on more important tasks. At the same time, it automatically builds up an HR knowledge base as you go. It's quick to set up, works right in Slack, and you can try it for free. Just head on over to gocleary.com/HR-chatbot to install it. It's, again, gocleary.com/HR-chatbot. Thanks again.